And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We continue our college football preview this week here on the Sports Ticket. Monday, it was Greg Sharp, the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Yesterday, Ian Campbell, former K-State great, talking K-State football. And now Brian Haney, the new voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. We've had Brian on a few times already this summer. And Brian is with us to talk KU football, perhaps some KU volleyball. And if we have time, a little bit of KU men's basketball. And Brian has a new gig going. They haven't fired you yet, have they?
Not yet, man. We'll see how this interview goes. I'm trying to be on my best behavior. How are you, Wayne?
I'm doing good, man. I'm imagining that you've put a few miles on the car and you've been doing a lot of traveling here in the last month or so.
Quite literally. In fact, if you hear that beeping on live radio right now, I'm in a rental car. They're checking the mileage. So your question is astute and on point.
Where are you at right now?
The extra ambient noise. You know, we've been traveling all over trying to see various folks and greet the affiliates and let them know what we're trying to do. I'm in Lawrence this morning, but excited to roll this thing out. We'll continue to meet with our affiliates across the state over these first few months and trying to put our best foot forward with, you know, the new era of what these broadcasts are going to sound like. And hopefully you've logged on to KUAthletics.com and you've seen some of the new coverage we're trying to do. We're really excited about what Dr. Sanger's built with this athletic department. And, you know, we look back to this past year, you add up the success of all the sports teams, men's and women's. It was a top 25 collective finish for Kansas Athletics. And you had four Big 12 Conference Coaches of the Year. You had three National Coaches of the Year. You had competition levels increase dramatically, and in some cases championships won, not just the Final Four of Ray Bouchard's volleyball team, but league titles, you know, in several categories for Kansas. So we're really excited about what that meant in 2015, 2016, and hope for even more success in the year ahead.
All right, so let's start with the football team. Of course, winless last year, and it's been the laughingstock of many people that aren't Jayhawk fans, or even they are Jayhawk fans, going, oh, I can't wait for late night in the fog, can't wait for volleyball season, of course, and why wouldn't you? They made the Final Four last year, as you mentioned, ranked fifth in the country right now. But let's start with football. David Beatty, you've had a chance to talk with him more than a few times, I'm sure, by now. KU, it can't get any worse than last year, record-wise. Tell us about how the Jayhawks are, I guess, what kind of level of excitement the players have as they head into a brand-new season trying to forget what happened last year.
You know, I think the excitement level stems from the fact that both the quantity and the quality of this roster has been enhanced. It was a numbers game last year where you look at how empty the cupboards were that David Beatty inherited, and the fact that there were just north of 60 scholarship players to work with some of the junior college defections and other guys that left the program and some injuries that piled up in the preseason that you just couldn't afford to have. I mean, that was adding injury to insult, and it put them in a world of hurt. You know, you fast forward a year, and they haven't completely climbed up all the way to the same numbers of scholarship guys you can see with other schools, but you can't do that all in one class, obviously, and if you do, you're going to probably set yourself up for failure later. So he went about it the right way, and he brought in some fourth-year high school senior guys that they feel are going to, you know, eventually become star-caliber players, but probably have to get thrust into, if not a starting role, a regular rotational role right away, because they don't have the luxury of established depth where you can redshirt guys a whole lot right now. And so Kansas fans that come out on Saturday night are going to see a kid by the name of Mike Lee, who just reclassified to be able to play right now. He should be a high school senior trying to figure out who he's going to ask out to prom. Instead, he's here. Kyle Mayberry, another guy in the secondary. Bryce Tornaden as well. These are all true freshmen in the secondary that have greatly enhanced the team's speed. Now, I'm going to talk about that more here in just a second on just how much faster they are. But these are all guys that are going to play right away. And maybe, you know, by year four or five in the David Beatty era, a couple of these guys might take a red shirt. But not right now when you're trying to climb up out of that numbers doldrum that the previous staff had them in, Charlie Weiss. So you look at the offensive side of the ball, there's a great lineman by the name of Hakeem Adeniji that I think is going to have a chance to be in the mix right away at right tackle. Whether he starts or not remains to be seen. But he comes in 6'5", 265. That doesn't sound huge, and it's not. But he's got some terrific skills, great feet, good, strong upper body, good, strong base as well. But, you know, ideally you might redshirt him for a year and put 20 or 30 pounds on the guy. Instead, he's going to play right away. He's been a standout in camp, though, and he's earned whatever he gets, for sure. But it's another example of the fact that they're going to throw some guys into the fire front and center right out of the chute because they kind of have to. I think maybe of the freshmen that's impressed me the most, the guy that really passes the eyeball test, Khalil Herbert. He's going to wear number 10. He's a running back. He looks like he's 22. He's actually 18. He looks like a Big 12 starting caliber running back already, and I'll be interested to see how many carries a game he can pilfer away from a returner like Keon Kinner, because he has really had a great camp. And as Coach Beatty said, here's a kid that's maybe as special as any running back he's been around in terms of his upside and what he could become. So we're excited about these freshmen, and we're excited about the recruiting, the job that David Beatty's done. But you got to understand that this was a situation where they were so far below the mean average of numbers and size and strength that, you know, it's going to take a couple of years to get it to where they'd like to see it be. But it is well on its way. And maybe the best stat that sums that up the most in terms of sheer athleticism differential, last year, Wade, they had just three kids on the entire roster that could run a sub 4.6 40-yard dash. Just three.
Oh.
They've got 32 now. Oh. 32. That's a 29-player differential in 1 year. Now, nine of those were recruited and brought in as true freshmen. 20 of them they built up with what they had. You got guys up and down the offensive line that are all power cleaning a minimum of 315 pounds. That shows you the strength is up. And so what does this add up to? I'm not trying to preach sunshine and rainbows. I promise you a big, glossy win total just based on, you know, hand-timed, you know, stopwatches and that kind of thing. But I am telling you, it adds up to something. And they are closing that gap in terms of athleticism. And I think in an opponent like this one, a matchup like this one with an FCS foe in Rhode Island, you hope that those size, strength, and speed differentials from last season to this year really shine brightly and cast a pretty glaring differential between an FBS and FCS opponent come Saturday night. After that, it gets tough in a hurry. What I like about this schedule, though, Wade, it ramps up in terms of level of difficulty with each week, and you want to get at least a couple of wins and get some momentum heading into September, because those first six in Big 12 play, it's about as brutal of a gauntlet as you could ever expect to see, because right now as we sit here, these are all teams that could either be ranked today or ranked by the time that KU faces them. You want to see this Kansas team with a little bit of confidence and swagger coming out of non-con, and that all gets going on Saturday night.
Ryan Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Quarterback situation, Coach Beatty has not announced who his starter is, but it sounds like it'll probably be a combination of two, maybe three people. Where's the quarterback situation stand right now?
Yeah, he included Carter Stanley in the mix on that as the third-string quarterback, talking about how he might be the most capable dual threat guy when it comes to his feet. But I think the top two options are the guys he's deciding from the most right now, and they're the guys getting the bulk of the reps. Is you've got Ryan Willis, played in eight games a year ago as a freshman. He missed the spring with a wrist injury, but he had a great fall camp. However, Montel Cozart, who was your starter to begin the year last season, also excelled in the fall. And I truly believe, Wade, it's not an example of, well, you got two, so you don't have any, which is that old football cliche when it comes to quarterbacks. I don't think it's an example of, well, nobody really separated themselves. Man, we're stuck. Genuinely believe, in watching Coach Beatty's face light up when he talks about it, that he had two young men in particular, and Toss Carter Stanley in there too, but really those two I mentioned in Cozart and Willis, that exceeded expectations, that they pushed each other. And he said from an efficiency standpoint, statistically speaking, there was not a hair of differential in terms of the stats these guys posted in the fall camp. And so you don't like it necessarily that the decision drifted all the way into game week, but part of that is gamesmanship to keep it close to the vest for the sake of Rhode Island's game planning. And the other part of that is they really did have a razor-thin neck-and-neck competition throughout this fall camp. And so that's exciting. And hopefully whoever ultimately won this job, and I do think they're deciding on it today, hopefully it's a guy that goes out there and seizes the moment on Saturday night and never looks back. Because if there was a hitch in the giddy-up over the first couple of the quarters, I don't think Coach Beatty would be afraid to put the other guy in, which is not something he'd ideally like to do, but it speaks to just how close these two have been throughout the offseason and preseason.
Realistically, how many wins do you think the Jayhawk football team can get this year?
Boy, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say this. I think they can win two in the first month, and I think they'll surprise in one or two over the final 2 months. I think you saw their ability to compete last year under circumstances that I just laid out for you that were not equal, you know, when they went and took on TCU and nearly took them down in Fort Worth. I would expect games like that would be more frequent, where you're in it surprisingly close to the finish, and maybe you find a way to close the deal in a couple of those. And so, to me, it would not surprise me at all to see this football team go out and double the expectations that some are putting out there for them in terms of 2016 win total. It would not surprise me one bit. But it starts with this first three-game slate in the non-con because, as I mentioned, it's just brutal those first 6 weeks in the league. You'd really like to see Kansas not just get some momentum and confidence in terms of individual players, but the collective confidence they only can come from winning football games. And I think that starts on Saturday night. I think they'll have a great chance to beat Ohio in the second game. But, boy, you respect what they built with that Bobcats program. Memphis, they're replacing a first-round quarterback in Paxton Lynch, and they have a new head coach, but that's a road game, so you certainly have to be mindful of what they could bring, too.
Well, let's shift gears to the volleyball team, ranked fifth in the country, off to a nice start. Of course, last year made all the way to the Final Four there in Omaha. You've talked to Coach Bouchard. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around that volleyball program right now, isn't there?
There is. You know, it's a situation where they bring back all but two starters from that group, and they switch from the role of the hunters to the hunted, and I think they're embracing that right now. And Coach Bouchard feels like, while you don't necessarily go out there and tell everybody, hey, we plan on being right back in the Final Four, it's clearly the aim of this team, and it's going to be tougher to get there as a marked team now, make no mistake. But when you've got that type of junior and senior caliber talent with experience under their belt of a deep NCAA run, I think you certainly have to set the bar high in terms of expectations. So we're really excited to see them hopefully become a mainstay in the NCAA tournaments and a regular as one of the real flag carriers behind men's basketball here at the KU Athletic Department.
KU men's basketball, late night in the fog, exactly a month from now, October the 1st. KU, of course, always in on some of the best recruits in the country. I would imagine in Lawrence, don't want to disrespect the football program, but a lot of people already looking ahead to men's basketball and what the Jayhawks have. And, of course, when you have Josh Jackson, a highly touted freshman coming in, and you've got a lot of talent coming back from last year, certainly lost quite a bit too. What's the feeling about the men's team?
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly a top three team in the country to start the year, and I think when you have the type of veteran guard play in Frank Mason and Devontae Graham, you can really start to set the bar of expectations very high because these guys have not only been around a long time, but they've played in big games, won league titles, and they've got two guys that are capable of being that guy handling the ball, running the show, and that's becoming more of a growing theme and trend in college hoops today is to have, you know, a couple of guys with point guard skills on the floor at the same time, but not often do you see it when you have guys this accomplished that have stayed this deep into their careers as a senior and a junior respectively. And so I think that's a huge leg up for Kansas. And when you add in Azubuki and you add in Josh Jackson and some of these additions that Bill Self seems to reload with and stack the deck with each and every year, pretty exciting to see. And keep in mind, the Big 12 Conference lost a ton of talent. About two-thirds of the first, second, and third team all-conference players graduated or left for the NBA. And so it's going to be interesting to see who else besides Kansas reshuffled that deck as well as the Jayhawks did. The program I just got done covering, Texas Tech, I think is going to jump up into the top three or four, and the rest of that landscape remains to be seen. But make no mistake, with 12 straight tucked away and one of the best recruiting classes in the country coming in, this is the team to beat in the Big 12 Conference and one of the best in the country for sure. And look at that schedule in November and December. I mean, Indiana, Duke, you've got Kentucky later. This is going to be a very battle-tested team by the time we get into the throes of Big 12 Conference play and one of the more challenging slates I've seen in quite some time.
All right, Brian, you ready for off-the-wall question?
Sure, bring it on, man.
I know the first time we had you on early this year, I really put you on the spot, but now you are an employee of Kansas University. What is a movie that if you were forced to watch over and over and over, what one movie could you watch over and over and over and not get tired of?
I'll give you a sports movie and I'll give you a funny movie.
Okay.
My dad and I grew up watching The Natural together every spring before baseball season started. Roy Hobbs, you know, this guy striking out the whammer and then hitting the home run that shatters the lights and the ball just keeps on going.
Mm-hmm.
This was the movie of my childhood when it came to sports movies and what got me amped for the upcoming baseball season. But then in my college years, Anchorman came out, probably the most quotable comedy of my lifetime, and I've probably seen it 13 or 14 times. So there's one from a couple of genres for you there, and definitely two that I frequent quite often.
Those are good answers. I love both of those as well. Hey, man, we look forward to hearing your call. The new voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, his first call to the Jayhawks coming up Saturday night. Jayhawks football opener at home against Rhode Island. And you can hear it kickoff slate at 6 o'clock. You can hear that on Z96.3 Lake. Brian, we always appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. And has it sunk in yet? Have you pinched yourself multiple times that you are the voice of the Jayhawks? Is it now kind of now back in the business and this is a job and you're good to go?
Yeah, Wade, I think that feeling will come on Saturday night around 6 o'clock when the ball goes up in the air for the first time. It's certainly been a surreal first month, but a lot of this is largely, you know, the other rest of the job type duties I've been taking care of. The real deal comes up on Saturday night, and I think when I'm standing next to David Lawrence and seeing the wheat being waved at Memorial Stadium, that's when it will really sink in. So I can't wait for that feeling.
Well, congratulations again on getting the job, and we look forward to listening to you beginning on Saturday, Brian. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thank you, Wade. Have a good one.
You too. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.